Welcome, this is Mark Ward, and I'm so excited about having the opportunity to study with you again from God's Holy Word. It's so important that we take time in our life and not get caught up, even in things that are good, to excess of excluding God above and what it would take to please God. Title of the program is Pleasing God. And we want to keep that before us as a continual reminder that that's what we're supposed to be doing with our life. What's your mission statement? What's your vision? What are your goals? Somebody comes to you and asks you, what's your goal in life? Well, if you say to please God, they may look at you very funny, but there is no better goal in life than to please God. If you do that, you will be doing everything that is best for a person to do on this earth. Think about it. If you have a goal in life that includes being a good husband, if that one of your goals, well, if you put pleasing God above that, and in so doing, this idea of being a good husband is a good goal in life subordinate to pleasing God, then you're going to follow the best advice that anybody could ever give you about being a good husband, because you'll be leaning on the Lord's instruction, and not only will you be pleasing Him, but you'll be using the best situation possible. Some people say, oh, no, Mark, I'm not going to do that. If I please God in my business, I wouldn't be making the money I'm making, because I'm cheating people and I'm making a lot of money by putting in bad parts and the car breaks down again and then they return it back to me, and I make a whole lot more money cheating people with my business than, well, verily I say unto you, they'll have their reward. And if it's not in this life that somebody catches them doing that fraud, God will take care of business in the final day. That is ungodly. That is wrong. That is hurting people. And really, it's hurting the owner of the company if that's how they run that company. And I'm not saying that we please God to gain money, and that if we can look at everybody that's rich out there that is of great wealth and say, well, they must be pleasing God because look how they're blessed. No, God allows the rain to fall on the just and unjust. And there's a hymn that you may be familiar with, and it has words in it to the effect of, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested though in the wrong. Father along will know all about it. Father along will understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my brother. We'll understand it all by and by. Other verses in that same hymn talk about why there are people in riches that are being so blessed, it seems. Well, good things happen to bad people and unscrupulous people. And bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to godly people. And bad things happen to bad people as well. So it'll all be sorted out in the end. But some people have made millions cheating others. Some have made millions stealing from others. Stealing is wrong, and we should not look upon the end result with regard to monetary gain as a success factor before God. Abraham was a rich man in the Bible, but Jesus said how hard it is for they that have riches to enter the kingdom of God, and it's impossible for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God, meaning heaven in that context. Oh, we need to be careful because of the temptations. Much good can be done by a rich person that has a godly thought, like Abraham. The Joseph of Arimathea in the New Testament that begged for the body of Jesus after he died on the cross and took it to a new tomb, we understand, was a very wealthy man. He was involved in a godly action in what he did. And in taking Jesus to a new tomb, I believe it was part of the plan of God, so that when people began to holler hoax and fraud and no, Jesus didn't rise from the dead, didn't really happen, he just kind of swooned on the cross, they thought he was dead. No, he was dead. And people who are skeptics, that want to poke fun at the Bible, want to poke fun at those of us who believe in a true and genuine death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, he was God-man while on earth, but he lived and suffered and died as a man. And he was in the grave and he resurrected the third day as prophesied in scriptures. And it was a miracle. It was not a hoax. It was not swooning and then coming back to life. I understand the difference and I believe most of this audience would agree. But it's not the majority that makes something truth. It is what God's word says, properly understood and applied, that tells us what truth is. We like to read the passage from God's word. We won't always do it. That talks about the name of this program, In Pleasing God. Hebrews the 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21. It may become a memory verse for us all, if I read it enough, including myself. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You read those two verses on different occasions throughout the day, and different parts that are golden nuggets can come to life in your mind as it does to me. Oh, one time you may read through it and think about the resurrection of Christ. Another time you may read through it and you may think again about being well-pleasing in his sight. And another time, and another time, and another time. But don't camp out just on these two verses. There's too much richness. There are great nuggets throughout the entirety of the Bible. But let's get it straight up front while we continue to talk about who is this God in the Bible, and how do we please this God? If we believe in the God of the Bible, we should want to know him. And we need to have faith, as Hebrews 11:6 says. Because it's going to be impossible to please him if we don't know him. Please consider God's word in 2 Thessalonians 1. I'll begin at verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, notice, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, notice, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a rich passage. This is a passage we need to understand. This is a passage we need to visit often when we think of this matter concerning in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. This is the God of the Bible. And we're studying in this short series, and we'll move on to other topics, but will ever keep us before us in pleasing God. Who is this God that we should know Him? Who is this God that we should serve Him? Why? You know, some people on earth, they hear something and somebody says, well, you ought to do this and you ought to do this. And they'll respond, well, who made you the boss? Well, maybe in that example, nobody did. But maybe what they're hearing from that person is the truth and they need to make an adjustment. Maybe that wasn't the best way for that person to talk to the other person. Maybe. What good can the person get from it? Take it for what it was worth. Take it from whom it was sent. Consider the source, if you will. And if it still fits and applies, throw away the bad stuff and use it for good. Look in the mirror of God's Word, and if they're right, change. That's what I need to do. Don't kill the messenger, even if the messenger messes up a little bit. But with God, we shouldn't have that problem at all. Because when God tells us we're wrong, well, who made Him God? Nobody. He is God in eternity, always having been and always will be. By the very fact that He is God, gives Him the right of authority, power, judgment on His creation. And if we will get our haughtiness and put it aside, instead of saying who's God in a very sarcastic way, we've got the best friend in God. We can have the best advisor in God, in matters spiritual specifically, but also into how we are to walk on this globe and how we are to live. Will it be without pain? No. This earth has pain because of sin, because of people who with free moral agency choose to sin. Persecuting Christians is going to happen. God's told us it's not a bed of roses to be a disciple of Christ, but the reward is eternal, and life on earth is a mere what? Even if I said it was $1.50 at 150 years, and it's not. Put that up in the balance on one side of the scales and put eternity on the other side with God. There's no comparison, is there? And God cares for our souls. But this verse says that if we don't know God, the God of the Bible, we'll be lost. And if we don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be punished with everlasting destruction. So you and I need to do our level best, our dead level best, to know who the God of the Bible is and what is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, it's the good news, Mark. It's the good news about Jesus. Well, that is a simplified answer, and that is true. But that's not the totality of it, and when we study again, let's pick up right here and go forward. May God bless you in every effort that is good. May you be defeated and I be defeated in every effort that is wrong, so that heaven may be our home eternally with God and the faithful of all time. Life is too short, and eternity in heaven or hell is too long, even though it'll never end, for us not to consider the God of the Bible and consider pleasing Him. Well, I don't want to be a fuddy-duddy. That's not cool. I'd rather be right with God than cool with the devil and those that are going to hell for eternity. Let's think about where our standard is and what our goal is. Is our goal to be cool or to go to heaven? I love you so much. Thank you for listening. Tell others about the program. If you have questions, send it to markjward.com and get in the question section and give me a comment or a question. We'll bring it up on the program. Thank you and have a pleasant day.